The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and it's my pleasure. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so, so much for joining us. I know I'm excited to have you on. Joe, just in case somebody doesn't know who you are, would you mind giving our audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what kind of investments you're in today?
Sure. I am from Texas, specifically Fort Worth. I live in Cincinnati now. I am a real estate investor, specifically apartment communities. I'm the co-founder of Ashcroft Capital. We've got over $1 billion worth of apartment communities with our accredited investors. And I have lived in Flint, Michigan, Fort Worth, Houston, New York City, and Lubbock, and Cincinnati.
Wow. So you've been around for a little bit. Obviously, I think the community knows, if anybody's been in real estate, probably knows your name and read your book, listened to your podcast, those types of things. So again, very much appreciate the time. I know before we hit record, we were talking about some different experiences that you had gone through and some stuff that you can maybe tell our audience. So if you wouldn't mind kind of giving us the backstory of that initial one that we were talking about and what came about and what was really the challenge that came out of it.
Well, a lot of unsuccess stories. I'd say the biggest one, the one where I personally lost the most amount of money on, was my first syndication after I'd done 4 single family homes, which one of those homes will be another unsuccess story for another time. And we'll talk about that, but we'll talk about the first syndication, where it was, I'd purchased 4 single family homes. I thought I knew what I was doing, and I had studied commercial real estate and apartment investing, and I decided to make the jump from single family to multifamily. And it was quite a leap, I should say, not even a jump, going from a single family homes to the first syndication, which was 168 unit property.
Oh, wow.
It was in Cincinnati. I came across it from a connection, actually a mentor who I had hired. He told me about the property. And the unsuccess part is that it lost money. And the challenge part is needs to be plural. There were many challenges. and I was at fault personally for all of those challenges because I was not preparing myself properly. So ultimately, all roads lead back to the person who decided to do the deal, which is me. And so, there's all sorts of aspects, the challenges. So one, I'll speak specifics. One is not comprehending occupancy versus economic occupancy, not fully comprehending that. The owner, when I was doing my due diligence, said, oh yeah, this is 96, 97% occupied. And the profit and loss statements look like it was receiving the money to back that up, but it wasn't. There were just some shady things being done. I should have asked to look at the bank accounts to see the money actually coming into the bank accounts to do more due diligence, not just take the P&L statements for granted. They were at 90%+ occupancy, but the economic occupancy the first 2 months of ownership when I took it over was around 60 to 70%.
Little bit of a difference.
Yeah, it is. It goes from a stabilized cash flowing property to a distressed property in an instant. And yeah, it was a comedy of errors that I made on that property. You know, another is that I didn't understand that you needed an operating account after you close on the property, so that should unexpected things come up, which they do consistently, especially when you own a 1970s, I think it was 1972 construction. So 1970s and older, you're going to come across a lot of things that CapEx that needs repair. You need to have that operating budget. And I did not. I raised just enough money to close on the deal. And that's a problem, because as soon as we closed on the deal, the mortgage broker said, okay, you know, we got to escrow taxes and insurance, and here's the cost. And I think it's like $30,000+. I'm like, oh, huh. Well, I wasn't expecting that, because my thought was that I would have the cash flow from the property pay for and increase my reserve, pay for things that came up and increase the reserve over time. Well, if the property's not cash flowing and you don't have a reserve, that's a double whammy. And so there's a lot of other things that I should have sussed out, but I didn't. I mean, ultimately, I'll stop there. Any questions on that part?
Yeah. And I think that's a good spot to start thinking about. You know, I would imagine that there are some folks in the real estate game now that are maybe in single family looking to get into multifamily or wanting to step directly into multifamily. I know personally, your podcast has been incredibly helpful for my partner and I going through and figuring out some things and trying to mitigate some of the issues that others have run into. But if you were to try to sum up like one to two things, somebody moving from single family to multifamily or jumping right into multifamily, that they should do or think about that you didn't when you did that first deal, what would those kind of one or two things be from a high level?
Awareness of what is required to be successful in the business. Because if you know what's required to be successful in the business, then you can start looking at the skill sets that you must have in order to be successful. And you can be honest with yourself and say, oh, you know what? I don't have a decade plus of experience honing these particular skill sets. Like, for example, due diligence of a property or lease audits or underwriting, you know, running the numbers to see if your financial modeling is accurate or you know, every pro forma is going to be busted in some form or fashion, right? It's a pro forma. It's a projection of what you'll do in the future. So the numbers are always going to be off one way or the other. But what are you doing to in your underwriting to mitigate the risk so that if the numbers are off one way or the other, it's in the good direction, not the bad direction. And so awareness of what's required to be successful, and then you can reverse engineer that and say, okay, well, I know I have a decade plus or 5 years plus or whatever it is for your situation. I know I have experience in this way, in this part of the business.
Sure.
Therefore, I can bring value in this part of the business, but you know what? Not these other parts. Therefore, I need to have vendors who have that expertise. I need to have a business partner who has that expertise. I need to hire some contractors who have that expertise, and then piece together your team that way. That's what I did not do going into it. And that is a necessary component. And that's what I did after that. You know, fool me once, shame on me. No, shame on you, which really, it was shame on me when I fooled myself once. So that phrase isn't relevant here. It was my fault. So, but I wasn't fooled twice is my point.
Sure.
I course corrected and I figured out, okay, well, I have an expertise in the big picture of business, but I also have an expertise in marketing and relating with people because I love it. I love connecting with people, and what that translates to from a business standpoint and apartment investing, syndication is money raising and equity. But then, you know, there's other aspects of the business too that I focus on, but I'm not the primary point person for those other aspects. That's how we've been able to scale and grow, where after the first deal, I've met my business partner now. This was in 2015 when I met my business partner and we formed our company, and we have done pretty well together because he has certain areas of expertise that he had a decade plus experience doing prior to us partnering that complemented the areas of expertise that I had that were a decade plus. And then we partnered up and we primarily focus on the things that we're really good at. And there is some overlap in some areas, but not a lot. And that's the way to go about it.
Yeah. And Joe, listen, I appreciate your honesty in coming on here and talking to us. I know for many of us, we see the incredible success that you and many others in the community have had, and knowing that everyone's had stumbling blocks or at some scale, and being able to come out of that super successful, learning from those experiences and not letting it be too much a detriment on what you're doing. I know it speaks volumes to me, and I really hope our audience as well. So I do appreciate you coming on board and talking to us today.
Oh yeah. And it's important to mention that even though the deal lost money, I paid back my investors plus a 14% annualized return out of my own pocket over a period of time. And those were, I had 12 investors in that deal, and they were 12 challenging phone conversations to have with each of them after we sold the deal. And it wasn't a surprise that we were going to lose money, but it was challenging because it was over and we had lost money. There wasn't any, there wasn't any opportunity to recoup that within the deal. So I told them, I don't know how long it's going to take me, but I'm going to pay you back plus a 14% annualized return out of my own pocket. And that's what I did. And there's a keynote that Matthew McConaughey does, and it's on YouTube. You can Google it. I think it's at University of Texas. And one of the things he says in his keynote is don't leave crumbs. And what he means by that is don't do things now that in the future you're going to be looking over your shoulder hoping that it doesn't come back to bite you. Mm. And that's be proud of who you are today so that in the future you can continue to be proud. And when I come across those 12 investors who are in that first deal, it's a wonderful event because they got payback plus 14% annualized return. And a lot of them are currently invested with us. And one of them has invested 20 plus times with us.
Wow.
Since then.
Well, and I think that just goes to speak. It may be hard up front, but it's a lot easier to swallow whatever it is that you need to do up front rather than let that compound and create, compounded interest of guilt or neglect or whatever it is over time, because it's only going to get exponentially worse if you do. So to your point and Matthew's point, don't leave the crumbs behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd say it's harder in the moment to do the right thing because you're spreading yourself really thin, at least I was financially, but it's something that has really good returns for you over a period of time. And plus, oh, by the way, it's just the right thing to do.
Correct. Well, Joe, I really appreciate the time today. I thank you for coming on, sharing a little bit about your experience and ideally giving our audience something to think about. So as they're going through their deal, and if they see something like this coming up, they can avoid it or have already learned the lesson that you learned for us. So thank you so much, Joe. For those that want to follow up, hear more about what you're all about, hear about Ashcroft, what's the best way to find you and for them to get in touch with you?
You can just go to either of our websites, Ashcroft Capital or Joe Fairless, my personal website, joefairless.com.
Perfect. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.